stand for the reading of God's holy word, and we want to welcome all of our friends from all over the world, and we thank each and every one of you who come in, and many of you come regularly, and even our visitors who come in on multiple streams, live streams, go out of here all over the world. And we thank God for you. As you know, since we started doing Periscope and Facebook Live and Spreaker Live and all of that, I have never been one of those who coaches you to bring more people and hit up more people and send up hearts and likes and beg more people to come and all of this kind of thing. God has never led me to do anything like that. And I personally, being a Christian, I think is, when I've seen this before, I think it's rather vain to do that. But be that as it may, we thank God for your presence. And we thank God for your being a witness for Christ and inviting others on your own. And we do thank you for all of the amens. That's what I consider the likes. And maybe somebody ought to come up with something that says amen to the preaching of the holy word of God. We thank God for each and every one of you, and the thousands of you who have sent in prayer requests. I was amazed just in recent years, over 5,000 requests have come in for prayer. As you know, we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And we have a number of people praying with you and for you. You can move that over there. And we thank God for the privilege to pray for you. And we thank God for those of you who have trusted Christ as Savior down through the years, and those of you who have rededicated their... Don't lean backwards. Rededicated their lives to Christ through the preaching of the Word of God. Always remember, contrary to what some people think, even some preachers, the Word of God is not bound. Spurgeon said it well. He does not have to defend the Word of God. He just needs to unleash the Word of God, because the Word of God is like a lion, and a lion will take care of itself. Turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And I want to preach in your hearing, by the grace of God, part one of Until Jesus Comes, Work. Until Jesus Comes, Work. For the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. Notice the words, a long time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. And notice how that it is not a specific time. And reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. In other words, Lord, you saved me and blessed me with certain abilities, and I used those talents, if you will, when the Lord comes back, Jesus Christ comes back, and you will be able to say, Lord, see the souls that are with me. What a shame it's going to be when the Lord comes back after a long time and you have nothing to show for it. You have not labored for the Lord. You have not witnessed to anybody. You have not helped somebody else go to the mission field. And please understand, whatever your talent is, whatever your ability is in the family of God, you are to use it. And you may not be the energetic, charismatic pastor, but you can be a prayer warrior and taking care of the children in the nursery so that the preacher can preach. And every soul that preacher wins to the Lord will go to your account as well. So don't you worry about a thing. God keeps very good records. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In other words, you did something with what I gave you. You did not complain. You did not whine. You were not envious of other people. You did what I wanted you to do. Now here's your reward. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice that if you're faithful with a little, if you're faithful with a few things, God will give you some big things in the future. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, and we'll be here a while because this parable is so rich and so deep and has so many levels, and deals with the current situation we're in today so powerfully. So by the grace of God, we'll be here a while because I want you to get the true meaning of this passage. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Different from the first one. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. A preacher out in San Diego said in his book, do something. Whatever talents God has given to you, whatever ability God has given to you, do something with it. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope you want to hear that one day. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You might be behind the scenes holding the camera for the services. Every soul that preacher wins to the Lord. If you do it well, if you're faithful, you will get a reward. Amen, somebody. Then he which had received the 1 talent, this is what many 1 talent people do, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I have a family member who would say that. I have a family member who would say something so stupid. And then verse 25 says, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. This is a wicked servant. He has judged his master, accused his master, said negative things about his master. I know how you are. I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Showing no faith in his master whatsoever, no respect for his master whatsoever. And then they love to say, these kinds of folk love to say, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. No, he was not afraid. He was wicked and evil, and he was hiding that master's money from the banks because he wanted to make sure that the banks did not have a record that the money actually belonged to his master. And so that, and he didn't believe that his master was coming back, so that he can go back to that hole where he put the money in and dig it up and claim it as his own. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Listen to me very carefully. There's nothing more terrible than not only a slothful and lazy servant, but a wicked servant. Amen, somebody. And there is nothing, I would rather have a slothful servant than a wicked servant, my soul. A wicked servant, you'll be amazed at how they will constantly come up like the waves of the sea with wickedness and evil and thievery and lying and doing ungodly things to hinder the master's work. But when you have a wicked servant and a slothful servant, you have a serious problem on your hands. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. And we need more bosses, more parents, more teachers to describe, to name people what they really are. If you have a person in your family who is a liar, you need to call them a liar. You have a person in your family who is lazy, you need to call them lazy. You have a family member who is selfish, you need to call them selfish. You're not helping them by coddling them. His master, his Lord, answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap. You see, that's why you're wicked. You already knew I was that way. His master is acknowledging, you know, he's not denying it. He said, thou knewest that I reap where I sow, not when you took my money, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers at least, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him. See, this is what happens to these losers, these wicked, lazy servants. And you have some in your family, you have some in your church, you have some in your ministry, you have some in your business. You try to help them, you try to work with them, you give them a little something to do and a little something to work with, and every time they fail. Sometime you just have to just go ahead and cut them off, and because they're no good. Just like we thank God, there are some people who are faithful. There are some people who don't even have faith. And not, we can't even begin to talk about faithfulness with them. For every one that hath shall be given. He says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. This happens all the time. People not content with what they got. People mad at the master, the boss, the parent, the Lord, jealous, envious of others, of what God gave them. They don't use what they have. And so it's taken away and given to others who are doing something. I'm sure you've heard in modern times, the best people to give extra work to are those who are already working and getting it done. So that's what the Lord did here. That's what the Master did. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Holy Father, God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, give us a deep wisdom and knowledge and understanding and insight regarding this powerful passage as we continue to preach on our theme, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture first and then the second coming. And Lord, we know that you want us to be busy until you come. Have this passage from your holy word to encourage your saints and inspire them to do just that, to work until you come, to work while they have time to do so. Lord, we pray that you'd grant us your grace, your strength, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to make your holy word plain and understandable and practical and applicable to all of our lives. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the devil hates us because we're proclaiming the gospel every day and we feel it. We feel his constant attacks from the outside and from the inside. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage from us today. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. Place upon us the whole armor of God. And not only, Lord, give us victory for this service, but victory throughout this day as we prepare for other service and witnessing and ministry. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved through your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, until Jesus comes, work. In the words of one preacher, do something. Certainly do what God has given you the ability to do. By way of introduction, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zook, editors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, a very good commentary, to be such scholarly men, they made it very clear and plain, and I believe that is the evidence of true scholarship, is that you present your findings, you present your studies so that a person with a sixth grade education can understand it. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, and all teachers of the Bible and preachers of the Bible ought to do the same. Simplicity is golden. In another parable, they share with us on faithfulness. Jesus told the story of a master with three servants. The master went on a journey and gave each servant a specific amount of money, talents. The talents were of silver, made of silver. A talent weighed between 58 and 80 pounds. Thus, the master entrusted his servants with considerable amounts of money. The amounts were in keeping with the men's abilities. To break it down for you, this is why some wise parents give certain children a little bit more than others, because these parents know them, that is, in their will. For everybody has different abilities and talents. Two of the servants were faithful in caring for the master's money and were accordingly rewarded for their faithfulness with additional wealth, additional responsibilities, and sharing of the master's joy and happiness. The third servant, having received the one talent, reasoned that his master might not be coming back at all. If he did return someday, the servant could simply return the talent to his master without loss. And as I have said, there are many cursed individuals like that living today. They just have a cursed mentality of foolishness and wickedness and laziness. And so he felt that he could do that and avoid losing the money in some poor investment. But if he failed to return, the servant wanted to be able to keep the talent for himself. He did not want to deposit the talent in a bank where it would be recorded that the talent belonged to the master. He was a wicked servant. He was a Judas. He was a lazy servant, willing to steal from his master, but trying to do it in a slick fashion. Do you have anybody like that in your family? Do you have anybody like that in your church that is just slick, wicked, lazy? They never want to work in the Lord's vineyard, but they always want something from the vineyard. They're quick to blame the master. They're quick to blame the pastor. They're quick to blame the head of a household. They have it in their wicked hearts to excuse themselves and tell, instead of change their wicked, evil, ungodly character, they think they have a bead on your character as the master, as the head, as the pastor, as the father, head of household, as the boss. And you can go ahead and take on that demonic, wicked, lazy attitude, dear friend, and tell your boss tomorrow after he asks you how much work did you get done over the past 8 hours, and how did you use the materials I gave you? And then you can grab back and say, well, boss, I knew that you were a man who did not work yourself, and that you always depended upon people working for you, and you make all the money off of me, and so therefore I took your materials that you gave me and I took them to my house, and I'm going to use them on my house. And I knew that you were a person who did not labor. You just sat in the office, and I did not use the stuff you gave me for your benefit, because I didn't like the fact that I was seen as a slave to you. And you know what he's going to say to you? You're fired. Get the hell out of here. That's what he's going to say to you. Because you are a wicked, lazy worker. I wish you had told me all of these wicked things when I hired you and before you got your first paycheck. His reasoning, they go on to say, indicated he lacked faith in his master. He proved to be a worthless servant. Do you know any worthless servants? The old folks used to call them the ne'er-do-wells. The old folks used to call them the no-accounts. Today we call them losers. They lose at everything. They fail at everything. They don't even attempt certain things because they know they're going to fail at it. Quitters, hypocrites, phonies, fakes. They're very, oftentimes, they think they're smart and know more about you than they know about their own wickedness. And they go on to say, as a result, he lost what he had, and this is what happens to them, and was cast into judgment like the unworthy servant. He too would be eternally separated from God. The parable of the 10 virgins stressed the need for preparedness for the Messiah's return. This parable of the talent stressed the need to work, to serve the King until he comes back. Amen, somebody. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in this parable, Jesus, by the way, that's end of quote. In this parable, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a man going on a journey in a far country for a long time. Before the man leaves, he gathers the servants of his household and gives them talents. A talent, as I have mentioned, was a measurement of money in that day that was equivalent to 20 years' wages, serious money. Jesus is obviously represented by the man taking a long journey for a long time. We are the servants of his house to whom he has given talents. Now, obviously, Jesus has not given each of us 20 years' wages at one time, although there might be some who wish he had. But be that as it may, so what are the talents? And why is the man giving them to his servants? Why has Jesus given them to us, if you will? Interestingly, the talents that Jesus speaks of in his parable intersects, if you will, with the way we use the word talent today. Talent is defined as a natural aptitude or skill that you can trade with. Many people in the world, by the way, they are living off of this natural talent, this natural ability that God gave them. They make their money that way. There's some men who are talented to play football. The boy from North Carolina out there in California dropping threes like no other, Steph Curry, he was born like that. He's talented. He's talented like that. And sometimes there are gifts and talents given to a family. For example, his dad was known to be a three-point shooter, but not like his son. He didn't have the agility or the ability his son has, because Steph can turn around on a dime and hit a three. Steph can not even be looking and hit a three. Talent on loan from God. You take music, for example. Oftentimes a family gift. You think about the Osmond family, the Jackson family. Oftentimes when the mother and father can sing, the Winans family, the children can sing too. It's just a natural ability that God gives certain people. And you can trade with that. You can actually live off of it. Aretha Franklin got it from her dad, and she lived off of it. Okay? So it's an ability. You don't have to study for it. When you see a certain football player play that ball like that new quarterback from on the Kansas City Chiefs, you can't train for that. Either you have that or you don't. Holmes, I think his name is, something like that. Okay? You don't have to study for it. Now, you ought to practice and hone your skill that God has given you, but it's a beautiful thing that God gives us abilities and talents to trade with, to live on. Sadly, so many people don't use their natural ability. You know why? Because they act foolishly, like this wicked servant. They're envious and jealous of somebody else's talent and ability. And they poo-poo on theirs. It's a sickness. It's a curse. It's a cursed mindset. It's foolishness. Because really, God wanted all of us to use the natural abilities and talents that He gave us to trade with. The Bible says in Proverbs that your gift will make room for you. And you can nudge right on in there and find what they call your niche. And flat get it done and live the good life, if you will. And by the way, living the good life is what you are wired to do. And you still get paid for it. It's a beautiful thing. The Cambridge English Dictionary says it is a natural ability to be good at something, especially without being taught how to do it. Quincy Jones did not have any formal training in music. He was gifted by God naturally. He broke into a building that had an old piano one night, and he sat at that piano and started playing it. He never had played a piano before. He saw a trumpet, started playing that. He saw a clarinet, started playing that. He just was gifted, talented. And look what he has done over his 85 years. He shook up the world. A little motherless boy with a dad who was a half gangster in Chicago, with hardly anything to eat, has shook up the music world. Many consider him the Beethoven, the Mozart of our time. How about you, dear friend? What is your natural talent? What is your natural ability? While everyone has natural talents or abilities from God, those who are believers in Christ also have spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities. Our talents are the combination of our natural abilities and our spiritual gifts. It's a beautiful thing. Stop being envious and jealous of others and their talents and gifts, and hone your own. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop being mad at God like this wicked servant, this lazy servant who would not apply his talents. We ought to use both in service of the kingdom for the glory of God. and for Jesus Christ. And with that said, I have a whole lot more to say, but by the grace of God, I'm going to cut it off there. And because I have been a long time with you already, and I love to preach short sermons, but you have gotten a good introduction of where I'm going. So now, my beloved, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in him, because he's coming again and you need to be ready. And you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation today and the consequences of your sin in a place called hell. You don't want to go there. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed. We all have messed up. We all have done evil in God's sight. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We all die because of sin. Our body goes 6 feet under into a grave, through a funeral home. Our soul goes to hell if we have never made arrangements with God by trusting Christ as Savior. And that leads me to my third point. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. For he said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of pain, according to the Bible, and torment. And hell is forever. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. The same Jesus who warned us about hell told us about heaven and how you can get there in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, he bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to come into your heart and save your soul, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. This is guaranteed by the word of God. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the preacher or to the church to be saved. You don't have to do any good works to be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all. He did it all. Now, once you trust Christ as Savior, because he'll be inside of you through the person of the Holy Spirit, you will begin to do good works. You will want to go to church. You will want to give to God's work and help others serve God. But you don't have to do those things to get saved. So if you're willing to trust Christ as your Savior right where you are right now, you may be in Moscow, you might be in Paris, you might be in London, you might be in Kenya, Johannesburg, Manila, Philippines, you might be in one of my favorite places, South Korea, and China. All over the world, you might be listening and watching live. Right where you are, you can get saved. You can trust Christ as Savior in your heart and pray and ask Him to save you, and I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered, bled, and died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and change my life. Help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. And this is very important because, contrary to how we feel, contrary to what we think we might be here for another 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, that we might be here tomorrow, and that's just not the case, people. Yeah, I know you feel like you're going to live a long time, but you could die today. You could die this afternoon. You could die tonight. That's just the reality. There are millions of ways for you to die today, and you need to be ready. So if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on Him and pray and ask Him to save you, as I've just led these people. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, for more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is our prayer.